I was checking out a story about the, well, the Wurzburg Castle. Himmler's Castle, Germany, remember, under the Nazis. Down below, there is a circular area where they were said to have, like, skulls. The skulls of maybe generals or others that had died, and they were opened up. Other things, rituals were done. But the idea was to go into the room and go into a mode of meditation and to see if communication would come. Maybe somehow that the dead would speak again. Listen, would you want to listen to a communication in a room dedicated with dead, you know, the skulls of dead men that had been done in ritualistic form? I mean, everything about it was deeply occultic. But it's clear that in those days that even the Nazi ideology had spirit-level communication that guided them in their war development, in their agenda, in their vision for the world, in their dream of eradicating the world of an entire nation, an entire race of human beings, millions and millions and millions. The vast deception brought about vast destruction. Listen, tonight it is September the 16th, Thursday night, 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Shatter the darkness. This is the live radio broadcast, and this is Russ Dizdar. I'm glad to be with you. A few minutes ago, just taking time to pray over all the different nations, all of you that are downloading the archives later on. Just want you to know that you're in the scope. You're in the scope of the prayers. What are the prayers all about? God's blessing, God's love, God's engagement with your life. Because God is pursuing. Matter of fact, there is spirit to heart, spirit to more than skull. Actually, your skull doesn't really receive anything. You've heard the technology voice to skull. And I mentioned from a couple of friends that sent in the new stuff from DARPA, the things that are being checked out, the new helmet for soldiers. So that from a computer, communication can be given that will influence their stress level, their pain. It's almost as though they're having a surrogate God or presence or mom to take care of them through influencing different sectors of the brain. Now, I'm going to warn all soldiers, whatever you do, get out of, don't get into anything that is Psy Warrior, Psy Op oriented. Anything that deals with creating personalities, putting chips in the depths of your brain, controlling you in some way, or engaging you to engage non-human enhancements, supernatural or above the human scale of what is normal, the physics of the other side. Because I'm going to tell you right now, tonight, they are speaking, they are talking, they are knocking like crazy all over the world. And in lives. And there's a history of it we can see. We're going to talk tonight about the spirit of God and his communication. Now, there's spirits that are communicating all over the place. I was reading about a journalist from Los Angeles who wrote a book, I think two of them now that I've got, called Contact. It involves all of a sudden ideas, a voice, a communication pops into his head. It all pops into his head, and so he actually begins to take the communication. And it leads him out into the city to a secretive place or, you know, a designated place where he's going to encounter what he believes is an alien in that looks like a human that he's going to engage in the entity or the individual is going to tell him that he's been chosen to begin to receive communication and that he's going to have to communicate what the entities, the extra-dimensional entities, what it is they want, what it is they're doing, how they want to contact humanity. Now, anybody that has done any kind of reading or study in the area of ufology, alienology, the entire movement on alien contact, angel contact, listen, there are websites that not only can try to lead you to contact an angel, but to interact with your angel and to have a relationship, if I can say it that way, with the angel. You know, they're talking about incubus, succubus. As if it was a normal thing. Listen, the spiritual realm is gone very, very bizarre all around us. And I did get an email today. I'm not sure for sure who this is. There is somebody that has sent me an email. It's as if they're answering a question. Maybe it's from what, you know, on the air that I put out there. But I'm not sure who it is. It just simply says maybe they're listening tonight. Blessings. The person, their name is here, but no names, please. I don't know them. They're acknowledging that they are a Reiki healer. And it simply says these words, no, comma, Russ, comma, I am not. Sorry. Now, I'm not sure. Maybe there's a different communication that I had with this person and whatever. But they put the word namaste. You know, the Hindu, it's listen, we have folks that lived there that said that that was a normal thing day to day. It's just the blessing. And it's the idea, though. Now, listen, it's very important because millions are engaged in doing it. They have no idea. Where did it come from? Dark spirits, the finite spirits, the spirits from, you know, that region. There are literally hundreds of thousands of gods and goddesses listed in India. As a matter of fact, I want to say welcome to anybody in Mumbai, where they are now in India listening, downloading, also Bangalore, other places. So want to say welcome and blessings in the name of the living Christ, the living God, for your, engagement of salvation, of healing, of deliverance. But to say the word namaste, however they want to pronounce it, I've heard 10 different ways, but it means that they are bowing to the divinity within you. They're acknowledging the divinity within you. They are literally, it's kind of a way of saying, we are recognizing the sacred divinity within you. Now, it may sound like a simple, nice thing, but it's really Luciferic to the core. Let me tell you why. In Genesis 3, the entire alternative promise, if humanity would chuck God, throw down the living words of God, embrace different language given by a different spirit. And the promise, though, was there would be an evolutionary development to become divinity, to become as God. And that namaste literally is a spirit-given, not Holy Spirit, phrase that fosters the lie of the ages. Now, most those who are involved don't have any idea. Most those who say it don't have any idea. Most of the business people and the individual family that lived in India for years, the young girl, the college student that told me that everybody says it, she says. And I agree, and most have no idea what it means. But it is a recognition of the core doctrine and evolutionary promise of the fallen cherub himself. So it's always important to know what it is we are saying to individuals. So my response is to say, listen, blessings in the name of Yahweh, God, in the name of the living Christ. This is the one that died for you. This is the one that gave his life. Now listen, as we get into tonight, we're going to deal with spirit-inspired content, spirit-inspired, teaching or revelation or data. And it's coming from a lot of different directions. So let's take a few moments tonight to tell you about, we redid the site a little bit, shatterthedarkness.net on the web. If you do go there, there is, you'll see where there's been some changes made during the middle of the night when we were up. And, sometimes in the middle of the night, you can't sleep. So it involves prayer. It involves, just to see, you know, what's going on, listening to the Spirit of God. And I want to say that I acknowledge that Reiki healers everywhere, including the ones that were operative in the Methodist churches up here in Brunswick, Medina. I'm not sure the actual location, whether it was Wadsworth, where. But here's the issue. Can fallen finite spirits, with their energies and powers, bring a level of physical healing? Obviously, the answer is going to be yes, temporary, always with hooks. But understand that Reiki is a spiritual practice. It literally involves the Reiki healer as a kind of channeler of those energies. And there are spirit guides involved, spiritual presences involved, and even attachment when it comes to, well, you ever see the hot rocks and particular kinds of charged rocks, gems, whatever? If they're charged, it means that spiritual energy is on it. Question again, is it from God? And here's what anybody who just wants to really know the truth needs to understand. Does Satan himself heal as a counterfeit to God, to pull people away from God, to snare them into a masquerade, a seduction of deceit and ultimately destruction? Yes, guaranteed. That's what has been, is being done, and prophesied by the Spirit of God. So much more of it is coming. So again, all the listeners, all the friends that we have out there, and I know thousands of believers, blessings in Christ. And to all the ones that are seeking or reconning the show or engaging it because of some of the subject matters, it may be that the providence of the Spirit of God has drawn you, even if you're mad, even if you're arguing with the subject matter. You know, engage it. Because what you have is probably absolutely real. I'm just saying, take a look. It's coming from south of heaven. You've got to understand the deception. You've got to understand the real Christ died on a cross, rose from the dead, as prophesied, as the Spirit of God communicated. He would. So there's got to be a look there into the Satanists, to the Luciferians, and a few at times of perpetrators, the hidden ones, you know, that whatever it is that you do at times, there's no question the hand of God will engage. It's always my prayer that, like Saul of Tarsus, God engage you in that way. If you don't know about that, take a read. The book of Acts, chapter 9. Take and look at an incredible spiritual engagement where the living Christ, once dead, raised from the dead, ascended, now engaging Saul of Tarsus directly. Absolutely incredible, incredible experience. Changed the entire direction. The entire direction of an individual that hated the message of Christ and was opposed and was breathing out murderous threats. He was so opposed, he was involved in the death of the martyr Stephen. But he was engaged. So I pray that way. I pray that there will be individuals engaged in that way. Because God does not will that even one be lost. That could be you tonight. Listen, I want you to know that we do love you. We do care about you. We thank the Lord for all those that are sending in the emails. Let us know where you're from, even if you're downloading in Mumbai, India, or if it's in Moscow, or if it's in Beijing. We love to hear from you from time to time. And you give us a lot of things to pray about. Don't forget, I was told last night, the conference, Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference. I'll be speaking at it, and Tom Horn of RaidersNewsNetwork.com. Listen, if you go to ShatterTheDarkness.net, you'll see where it says Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference, October 1st and 2nd. Just click on that, and you'll come to the website. It'll tell you everything. It'll give you the bios behind Tom and all of his background in stem cell research and transgenics and the new materials for Forbidden Gates. Derek and Sharon Gilbert from PID Radio, their incredible books that communicate the same kind of dark agenda in the end, the trends. Mutation of humanity. And Jeffrey Rad's going to be there from Lookup Fellowship. So that will give you the backgrounds and bios and information and websites of all the speakers. And I got an email from Tom, the coordinator, Tom Dunn, the coordinator, and Deb helping, and all the folks down that direction. It's going to be in Canton, Ohio, basically my backyard. And I was told yesterday there are people from 12 states that have already bought tickets. 12 states that are coming in. It will be a cutting edge and a providential and a supranatural conference. No question about that. And I look forward to what's going to happen on Friday night. And you'll look at, you can actually go to that website again. Go to shatterthedarkness.net and just click on either the flash picture that comes up that mentions the conference, or scroll down a little bit where it mentions Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference. Just click there. You'll get the webpage. That's how you get the tickets. The hotel, I was told to tell everybody that the hotel will continue to keep the lower prices. If you call the hotel, make sure you tell them you're coming in connection to the Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference. My wife also tomorrow is going to send PSAs and contact the Plain Dealer, the Beacon Journal, the Repository, the paper in Canton, and WCRF and the Fish Radio. I'm going to put PSAs all around and let them know about this absolutely incredible and unique conference. There is just simply no conference that will have this content anywhere that I know of going on. And so we're glad to be a part of it, glad to be invited to be. We got some invitations maybe to go out west, maybe to Minnesota. And so we're seeing that that's in the works right now, and things are being confirmed. So we got about two or three other speaking engagements coming up before the end of this year, and we'll tell you about that. But we're glad here to be with you in this, again, hour. And can I ask you how you're doing? You know, whether you're, you know, again, whether you're listening shortwave, the satellite, I have no idea how far, how broad. I just know this. That some of you, and I know that you could write me and acknowledge this because you've already done this, a number of you. You say, well, I have come to listen to you by accident. Or somebody sent me a link and I went ahead and checked it out and listening. Or I found your website. I get this all the time. I found your website almost like accident or by some way. Please understand, there is a communication going on. I mentioned this yesterday. I think it's, Tuesday night, the 7 o'clock hour. The discussion was on the Spirit of God, the worldwide witness. Massive communication is going on. God is speaking. God is pursuing. God is summoning. And whether that's in every nation of the world, biblical prophecy shows that this incredible message of Christ and the Spirit of God's work drawing individuals will get to every tribe, every language, every single place. And I think that if you're a believer in Christ, Jesus taught, as he has been sent, he sends us. And he tells us to go to the highways and the byways and compel. You know where I'm at right now? I'm engaged with you. You and I are in these highways and byways. Some of you listening, this is the only way that you get really communications. And in some cases, it'll be the only way some people will hear that God loves them, God is pursuing them, God is after them. In the context of the spiritual engagement of billions probably of other spirits, finite, in an agenda, an agenda where there is synchronicity, there is a harmony, ultimately. It may look bits and pieces. In the secret power of lawlessness, it may seem like, for their eyes only, good news, infinite God, infinite Holy Spirit has brought enormous revelation, heads up, exposure, not just to the origin, to the nature, to the methodology of the dark side, but also the agenda. And I would say to all the believers, probably the most neglected thing in all the theology I've read, in all the church stuff I've been involved with in 30-some years, is the concept of a synchronized, evolutionary, spiritual agenda. That the crescendo, the ultimate act Revelation, or R1919. Everything is moving that way. So everything you hear at the Prophecy, Supernatural Science and Prophecy Conference will be giving you bits and pieces, a heads up of the things that are moving everything in that direction. Whether that's transhumanism, transgenics, the stem cell issues, the hybrid issue, or the planetary defense weapons, all of that is lending itself because we have it developing in politics and military and the economics, because there is an agenda that has massive force, and I'm going to say it again, as never before in human history. But we haven't seen anything yet. And I'm going to say again to the psychics and the Reiki healers and to the New Agers and to those engaged in remote viewing. Listen, I mean, talking about the remote viewers. By name, earlier today, unleashing just the Holy Spirit, just praying. I'm going to tell you right now, the Spirit of God has put it on my heart, communicated to my heart, moves me to pray for remote viewers, the first generation guys, by name, consistently. I'm going to ask all the believers in Christ to do the same. Because I see guys that have given sacrifice and have researched and have sought and seek, but when I look at them and listen to them and read all their materials, I have a grave and heavy concern for all of them and the second generations, because you know what? They feel, especially some of them, it's not, well, a lot of it has to do with money. Yeah, it does. Millions could be made. Corporations are hiring remote viewers to gain, information for a cutting edge, making millions. No question about that. And the interesting thing is on the remote viewer front, they're all also prophesying that what they're seeing is catastrophe and chaos and anarchy. That's why one of them is called Dr. Doom. But I'm going to tell you, frankly, and I don't hold back on this, I have a great love for them. I love them. I look forward to engaging and talking to some of them. I only talked to one of the authors, and never forgot him, never forgot all that we talked about, never forgot to pray, and we're doing it now. You know why? Because they have been led, this goes back to Ingo Swann, the psychic. They have been led, this goes back to this spirit to brain, to mind, ideas that then get put into practice. It's Ingo Swann in Text Mars book and other places, but Ingo, if anybody's read about him, one of the remote viewers I dealt with was under some of his stuff and, listened to him direct. But he was like the ultimate psychic in the old days. I mean, if you hear about what he believes in, where I'm coming from, this side of the fence, it's massively alarming. Okay? And so it's some entity, it's something that sent information into his head, and that's where he got up and began to, put out coordinate remote viewing and the technical side and so forth. So in all of that, what I'm saying is, I know that it was spiritually developed. That there's actual quotes of entity to brain information that has led the way. And the practice itself is similar to what I did back in the temple before I came to Christ. It involves passivity. It involves allowing data. That means the remote viewer, the Psi Warrior, means communication. It literally means revelation. Information they did not have, that does not come from their brain, but comes from somewhere else. So all of a sudden, the passive remote viewer is going passive and all of a sudden connects, gets it, is connected. Their journeys to the future, their journeys to the past, their claims of remote viewing any object, any place, any person, anything, anywhere. Gosh, please understand, I've read quite a bit and was involved in something similar, As a matter of fact, the second generation remote viewer from the Psi Warrior, really from Fort Bragg, they they wanted me to come and meet some people, and they wanted me to be tested, but there was no way. I was a believer in that engagement, and the Spirit of God dwells within. I know the idea of communication, non-human communication. And so SciTech, you know, and others now clearly say, you know what? What's happening is we are receiving the information coming from the collective unconscious, or the unconscious collective, or the conscious universe, or the that global mind, or as Lynn Taggart calls it, the field. Out there circling the earth is a realm of spiritual energy, some presence, a field. It's being detected by many. It has many know that they have tapped into it and allowed it to tap into them. Some feel it's just the hall of records, the Akashic records, where all of the information of all time, of everything, is there. It is a counterfeit. Listen to me. Think this through. That realm, that domain, that place is a counterfeit to the infinite omniscience of God, who does know everything from all time, all the time. I mean, even contingencies. Every possible contingency in human life, let alone what really occurred, God knows. Now, the Akashic record, that realm, it's spoken about in the Bible, Ephesians 2. It's talked about being a place, exousia, or a domain. Eros, the immediate, dense atmosphere encircling the earth. There really is a presence, a kind of corporate global mind, a kind of collective. Now, a lot of writers are skimming the edge of this. A lot of people are tapping in through passive meditation or allowing themselves to be tapped into. Remote viewers are allowing content to come down. Others are going out up into that realm. Many have claimed, including psychics, that they've gone up into the Akashic Records. Of course, Edgar Cayce got his revelation, his data, his prophecies, his information from there. What is this realm? It is in the immediate, dense atmosphere all around the earth. There is energy, there is power, there is an emanation of communication, but it's all connected to entities. Extra-dimensional, non-human entities. And they're collectively together. They can show themselves to be translucent, almost angel-looking-like beings. They are powerful. They have an agenda. They want communication. Many times they will simply cause the curiosity that draws people in, like bait on a string thrown out into the lake. It looks like some really good stuff. Once we bite, we can get reeled in. And you know the end of the story. You know the end of the story for the fish. The dark side has gone fishing as never before in human history. And the communication, the energy emanating, the data and all of it emanating is tracked directly to the entities that are, well, putting it out. I would believe that tonight there are those listening. I would also believe that there's downloads. And I'm going to speak directly. And I'm saying by the Spirit of God, Psi Warriors. And even the attempts that have been made to remote view me, to remote influence, to remote touch, to even do more than that in some cases. The ether, the realm, man, it's massive. But it is where the prince of the power of the Eros, the spirit who is now supernaturally, by the physics of the fallen cherub, by his functioning, and by the function of hundreds of millions of fallen angels. They're spirits. They have personality. They communicate. They, in a sense, spiritually can tap on your shoulder and engage you. You can be led to books that will open you up to them. You can go to meetings where channelers can channel them. You can they can invade dreams. They can do a lot of things depending on what your family history is, what you've gotten yourself into. But it will always, if you will check it out, involve drawing you further and further away. And here's how it happens. By giving you a completely different level of content concerning God, the Bible, Christ, with the goal of pushing you away from all of it and engaging you in layers of other spiritual experiences and keep you distracted, preoccupied, and involved. And you're going to say to me, well, the experiences are real, Russ. You don't know how real all of this is. Well, no, I do. I know what it is to leave my body and go out. I know what it is to wait and to receive and to get communication. I know what it is. I know what it is to desire and want and feel that I was gaining non-human enhancements. But 35 years ago, I was engaged by the Spirit of God, and the Spirit of God communicated, and the Spirit of God is summoning and speaking. And here's what the Bible says. Even Jesus says, let him who has ears to hear what the Spirit of God is saying. I mean, the Greek word akouo, will you hearken to, if you're willing to listen to all the other revelations and Spirit speaking, why will you not be willing to listen to the infinite, uncreated, Holy Spirit of God, who knows where every dark spirit, when they were made, when they fell, how they operate, what their nature, where they're at, what they're doing. The Spirit of God, omnipresent, in the most detailed, I mean, the presence, the Spirit of God behind the Spirit of God is his upholding of the universe. Behind the material existence, molecules and atoms, is the particles. Behind all of that is immaterial presence. Now I'm going to do a series on the grand design where Stephen Hawking and his partner that wrote the new book where God is not needed in the concept of a out of nothing spontaneous creation. Well, it's crazy. We'll talk about how crazy that is in maybe next week's series. But again, what they cannot grasp, what they cannot grab, what they cannot experience, because they're limited. The finite spirits will be limited. Edgar Cayce got things right, and he got a lot of things wrong. Nostradamus got things right, but he got a lot of things wrong. Sylvia Brown got some things right, got a lot of things wrong. Remote viewers are getting some things right. They acknowledge that their accuracy may be 15%. Now, I don't care if it was 50%. It all matters how you're getting it. And that side will always communicate, hey, this is all about you as a human being. And we're here just to activate that. There's even this idea of a planetary spiritual wave of presence and power that will activate the latent DNA in humanity and elevate us to that kind of homo lumos or homo deity. Again, who's communicating that? Whose promise is that? Whose revelation? Whose data? When you understand the two sides, when you understand the Luciferic presence and the doctrine and the promise and the ultimate agenda, it's very easy to begin to spot where it's showing up. And so tonight, as we get into this more concerning the Spirit of God and what he's doing, because a lot of you listening, you have no experience with the Spirit of God. You don't know. You don't know the presence. If I was to say, tell me how the Holy Spirit of God has operated in your life, what would you tell me? Tell me how your relationship with the living Christ is. See, I can tell you story after story after story. Millions can around the world. Many of you believers, if you sit down and say, give me your testimony. What was it like before Christ? How you engaged or how he engaged you when you accepted him as Lord, and how the Spirit of God came in, and what has occurred since? Tell me about answered prayer. Tell me about your experience with the Holy Spirit. Tell me about the voice of the Lord speaking to you. You know, John's Gospel chapter 10, Jesus says, "My sheep, my people, my people know my voice, and they're not going to listen to another." You know why? There's other voices. And they have the audacity to even go after believers. They don't care. You read what Jesus himself said in Matthew 24. They're going to talk, even, listen, to deceive even the elect. Deception is number one in the content of the end of days. All that you see in the physical realm has a relationship to the ramping up of the most seductive spiritual stuff going on. And listen, it involves everything we're talking about tonight. I'm looking over here to my right, and tonight the session that we're dealing with is, well, the Spirit of God. Again, we're talking about Spirit, but infinite, uncreated, eternal. He, the Holy Spirit, he said that he would give guidance, so he's a guide. He'll give teaching. He's a teacher. He'll give revelation. He's a revealer. Parakletos, he's a helper, comforter, counselor. He summons us to come to Christ. He reveals Christ. And listen, if you haven't listened to the Monday, Tuesday, and the Wednesday sessions, we're dealing with 1 week of the extraordinary, supernatural work, power, communication of the Spirit of God. And part of that is, you know, me saying to you, I experienced the Holy Spirit all over me and during the 1 hour that we have. There's many times off my notes, the Spirit of God will give other things, a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom and insight. The Spirit of God can give vision and dream. The Spirit of God exerted his presence to raise Jesus from the dead. Lazarus, when he came forth, when Jesus commanded, it was done, though, by the Spirit of God. Now, tonight, on this Thursday night, the 16th, we're dealing with what the Holy Spirit says. Now, I can only say this in this short hour that we have. If you go to the book of Hebrews, and I would say again, I don't know why anybody would be afraid to, anybody would not want to go. And I'm going to tell you why there might be a reason why some won't. I would say this, anybody that is truly demonized or you have power spirits or you have your own willfully received and operating spirit guides, but it's not the Spirit of God, they will not want you to go to the Word. Or if you do, they will want to skew it and not let you listen to it and receive it as it is. Now, I'm going to give you some things to tell you how this works. Number one, let me tell you that the grapha, the writing of the Scripture. Listen, I already put up a week ago, and it's on my site, I believe on the right-hand side, scroll down. Evidence of the Bible. Three continents, 40 writers, 1,600 years. The most incredible human endeavor ever in history. No manuscript stands up to it as far as its origin, its preservation, its historicity, its archaeological connection. The manuscript support alone is beyond any other ancient manuscript by the thousands. By the thousands. We are manuscript rich. Incredibly. But just let's just bring it down to simplicity. A man goes, he's at a hotel, he's having a hard time, maybe he got kicked out of his house and he's arguing with his wife and maybe going to leave his family. Whatever it may be, he opens the drawer and there's a Gideon Bible, a Bible given out by the Gideons. He goes to the Gospel of John, begins to read. He reads more and more and more. You know how many times this has happened? All of a sudden, the Spirit of God is communicating to him, speaking to him. He gets out on his knees and he prays, "Lord Jesus Christ, come into my life, be my Savior, help me, forgive me, I trust in you." And he's born of the Spirit of God, his life is changed, and things in his life drastically change. Let me tell you about a friend of mine years ago, the guy that witnessed to me, the guy that I ran from, the guy that I couldn't hardly stand to be around because it seemed as though God was emanating from his life. His name was Steve. I knew him as the guy that made drugs. He made soapers. He sold them down from the basement of his apartment. He was a partier, a drug user, drinker. He was wild and crazy. You know what happened to him? Laying on a couch one night, listening to some heavy-duty rock and roll on the radio, somehow the radio station was in between, you know, or close to others, and kept switching back, going from the rock and roll music to an old preacher by the name of Oliver B. Green. And this old preacher, Oliver Green, I heard him years ago back in the 70s. He's long dead, but they played his stuff long after he was dead. And he was very simple, very, very gravelly, gruff voice. And he constantly shared the gospel, constantly shared Jesus. Well, here's this drug pusher. Here's this drug guy. Here's this guy making money, you know, high, laying there listening to music on the couch. And all of a sudden, it switches. He switches it back. He switches it again. But yet he listens to the old. The preacher's dead, but the message, the recorded message, is playing. And he's hearing about Christ and about salvation. It is there that he accepts Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Because the content, the Word of God, the message, God is in it. God is in the message. It's a living, speaking, gripping, summoning, penetrating message. It's coming from God. And when Steve yielded to all that he was listening to and then believed on the living Christ, accepted Christ, his life was changed. He dropped all the drugs. He dropped all the drinking. He dropped all the junk. And he yielded his life to be filled with the Spirit of God. And he was so filled up with Christ in those first few months of his salvation that he went after everybody. He literally, purposely came to the big, wild, drug-induced, drinking beer, rock and roll party that was at the apartments. I mean, he came purposely. He knew that there'd be 40, 50 people drunken, drinking, doing drugs, doing the, you know, maybe some people doing soapers that he sold months before. But he showed up. And he unleashed another message, and individuals, out of that night, a number of individuals got saved. One of those guys that got saved ended up becoming a pastor also, and still is to this day, 35 years later. And so there was a great communication, but it involves the Word of God. And so I'm going to simply say this. There is a supernatural quality so deep, so broad, so permanent in the Word of God that there is a battle, a warfare. Now hear me tonight, because I'm going to tell you that there are those who said, well, you know, I started to read the Bible, but I fell asleep, or I couldn't find the Bible, or when I started to read it, I got confused, or I felt something else. The phone rang, the dog started barking, people at the door, or I got sick. Let me read you something out of the Bible. Gospel of Luke chapter 8, verse 12. Simply says these words, those by the wayside are they that hear, he's referring to, hear, Jesus is telling his story, it's a parable. Parable of the sower of the word. He clearly says the word, the seed in the story, the idea of the seed being sown, the world is all the people. The seed being sown is the word of God. Now I'm going to tell you here in a moment that it's the breath of God, it's alive. The words in the scripture, the grapha, the literal written words, they're alive. And they carry in those words the presence and power. It is the tool of the Spirit of God. If you read Ephesians 6, it's called the sword of the Spirit. It's the Word of God. And so Jesus is talking about the seed, the Word of God being sown, and about people being there, hearing some of it. And then here's what he says. Then comes the devil. Then comes the devil. Ario. Ario. Just a simple word. Jesus says, Ario. To lift up, to loose, to take away the word of God. Now, I think this is very important for everyone who's a witness for Christ sharing Jesus. You know that faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of God. That anybody hearing the gospel, hearing the word of God, God's going to enable them to believe. God's going to summon them. I mean, even the Spirit of God says, Romans chapter 10, how can they believe on whom they've not heard? So they can't. So the devil, like with Paul that was out in missions, he acknowledges in the book of Thessalonians. On his way, he said, Satan, stop me. I've noticed over the years there's been times Satan has stopped us or engaged us or kept us from finding somebody or going somewhere or getting somewhere to tell somebody about Jesus, to tell somebody about the gospel. So there's a battle in that sense. There's a battle sometimes in the studio. The other day on Friday, a major message, I was sitting there already, all prayed up, all ready to go. Lightning struck where the station was and took out, and we couldn't put up the live message last week. Now, I'm not going to say it's always the enemy, but I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus Christ, nothing went by him. He had the attribute of omniscience. He knows and knew exactly where the devil was and what the devil was up to, what the dark side was up to all the time. Jesus said that he has come to build a church that the gates of hell cannot prevail against. That is the idea of a birthing of a people in a fallen world where Satan has legalities and rights. But it would be so powerful, so indestructible, that the entire dark side could not prevail or withstand the onslaught, the development. The word of God is so powerful, it goes beyond the devil. And I believe this, based on this right here, based on many other scriptures, I believe that Satan, the dark side, the demons know that the power of the word of God is so real, so clear. Listen, it may be that fake liberal theologians, it may be that psychics like Sylvia Brown that shred the Bible, Von Daniken shreds the Bible to pieces, utterly rejects, and that's exactly what Satan taught in the beginning. So the methodology is get the word of God out of people's minds and hearts. Here's what the scripture, here's the words of Jesus, not mine, Jesus Christ. Here's what he says. By those who are on the wayside that hear, they're talking about hearing the word of God, then comes the devil, and Ario takes away the word out of their hearts so that they cannot believe and be saved. The word heart, cardia, the center of your being. And I think that some of you might be able to sit back sometime and say, you know what, I heard this, I heard that. Listen, it was true of me. There's times that I heard things about the gospel that I, you know, because of around friends I made fun of or I rejected, or I was into my Buddhism, you know, I was into my occult, you know, stuff that I was into. I was seeking spiritual dimensions and all. I was into that so much that I quickly negated anybody trying to give me the word of God. There's an supernatural, non-human, operative among remote viewers, among the psychics, among New Agers, among authors like Alice Bailey, like Helena Blavatsky. There's a spirit guide named Francine that guided, directed for years and years and years of her life so far, Sylvia Brown. The spirit guide has led her to reject the Bible, to reject the words of Christ, to reject everything, to throw up a big squawk. And the whole goal, here's what it says. The word Jesus said is simply, Ario. That's all it is. Ario. It's a word that means to lift up, to take away, to cause to doubt, to remove. The idea is to remove. Ario means literally to just, I mean, this is the activity, to literally reach in to a human life. Now, think about this process, whether he does it through people. had a girl one time that sat down crying and crying and crying and crying. She just accepted Christ, had a lot of joy, went from a meeting to go tell her partying boyfriend. The boyfriend so scolded her, so yelled at her, so tore her apart, it was as if he pulled the word of God out of her. Satan can use people. It is without question that Satan will use anyone who has already got an operating presence of the dark side working in them. They are ferocious about attacking and removing the word of God because of its aletheia, its reality, its truth, because of its dunamis, the power of God in it. Now, I want you to stay there for a second. Think about this. I'm going to mention Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. Listen to these words. For the word of God, the logos of God, is zao. It is alive. It is living. It has life in it. It is alive or living, and it energes. Energes, this is the idea that it has power, that it has energy, a literal spiritual energy about it. In the grapha, in the writings, you can open up the Gospel of John, open up to the Gospel of Mark, read the book of 1 John, read the book of Revelation, read the book of Proverbs. In every single sentence, every single word, that is on a human scale alone, the most preserved, intact word, let alone the Spirit of God's guidance, directives, uses. And I would say this to the Chinese, if you're reading in Mandarin or Cantonese, or if you're in India, Mumbai, or if you're in Cape Town, South Africa, that has just downloaded materials, if you're in Brazil or you're on the Hawaiian Islands, pick up that Bible. Get everything out of the way and determine to read Matthew, read Mark, read John. I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus called the Bible the handed down Bible. He called it living words. He called it the very words of God. Hebrews 4:12 says the logos, this grapha, the scripture, it is quick and powerful, or the Greek word zao and energes. It is actually alive, and it is packed with power, energy, and that is the power, the energy of the Spirit of God. Here's what it says. It's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and of the joints of the marrow, and it is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. It is God speaking consistently like a fountain. Any place you open, it is. I mean, there's times when I'm just saying, Lord, what about this? You know, if I'm working on a message, or if I'm counseling somebody, or if I'm in the midst of prayer and there's spiritual battle, and the Holy Spirit can bring a verse to my mind that I wasn't thinking about. See, He knows all of them at the same time. See, this is what's great about interaction with the Lord. And if you're a believer, man, this is what's great. Every time I read my Bible, every time I'm studying Greek, every time I'm looking into all of it, it's an interaction with the living, personal presence of God. Not only do I look at, because this is what it says. I mean, you can read about this in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. When the Spirit of God leads Paul to write how they accepted the word of God, not as the word of men, but as it actually is, the word of God that was at work, supernaturally operative in those that believe. If you're hearing the word of God tonight, if you're hearing the fact that whosoever calls in the name of the Lord can be saved, if you're hearing the fact that God so loved the world, loved you, that He gave His one and only Son, His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have eternal life, if you're listening and hearing out of the book of Romans chapter 10, that if you confess Jesus Christ as Lord, if you confess Jesus with your mouth as Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Christ will come into your life. Christ will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. If you believe the word of God, believing to let Christ come in, let the Spirit of God come in, let the gift of God come in, and be born of God and come to know God, well, that's what it's all about. Anybody reading the Gospel of John can read towards the end. You know what it says? These things were written that you might believe, and that by believing you might have eternal life, indestructible, immortality. And eventually a day comes in glorification by the power of the Spirit of God. Then you'll see God face to face. You'll know him. I know him right now, person to person. I know him all these years. I know him. You may have spiritual experiences, and I'm going to tell you again, there's hundreds of thousands of experiences. But I'm also going to tell you that there's increasingly so, counterfeit, dark spirits acting as if they're the angels, as if they're the saviors, as if they're God, as if they're the supernatural, and they're engaging people. Now, here's the question. Does the spirituality you have lead you to a personal relationship with God where you know God's love, joy, forgiveness, power, have the gift of eternal life, and you can talk and converse with the Lord and walk with the Lord? Every dark spirit will lead you away to give you an alternative. If all your spirituality has done is giving you a lot of things, a lot of experiences, a lot of supernatural, it can be very supernatural. But you don't know God, you don't know Christ, you don't know the love of God, you don't know the gift of eternal life, then you've been duped, you've been deceived, you've been lied to. And you're hearing tonight that the Word of God, the Holy Spirit is in the Word. And as you read it, He'll bring it to you. As you look into the Gospel of John, there'll be a direct interaction between you and God. God is speaking. God is interacting. The Spirit of God is there to convince. I'll say it again, though, out of Luke 8. Jesus said that when people hear, the goal, if you don't respond, if you don't then believe, if you don't receive the living Christ right away, if you're just going to contemplate, and go ahead and think about the Word, engage it, but please understand, Jesus Christ says, then comes the devil. Airo. That's all. He comes to take away and get the Word of God out of your heart and life. And listen, if you're in the new age, if you're a son, I bet you can look back and see that it's all been stolen from you, taken from you. If you are a defeated believer, a defeated Christian, I bet you along the way you can see how the Word of God's been taken from you. You know how quick you can get up? Like the Church of Sardis, Book of Revelation. This is for backsliders. The Church of Sardis, Revelation. Once alive, but become dead. Guess what? Strengthen what remains and is about to die. How do you do that? Jesus says, well, repent, turn around. You know, grab hold of all that you've heard, all that you've already received, and all that you already know, and obey that. Go back and take up the Word of God. Take up the Word of Christ. We are hearing the music tonight. We're at the end of the hour. Grateful to be here with you. Listen, go to the site, shatterthedarkness.net. Keep us in your prayers. And for those who can, keep us in support. God bless you tonight.